And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Cian Robinson, who's the Associate Director of CBIT, the Center for Business and Information Technologies here at UL Lafayette, here to talk about Cajun Code Fest 3.0. And that means this is the third year that UL have had the Cajun Code Fest, and that means it's been successful.
We would like to think so, yes.
Well, I have heard a lot of reports, and I think people may remember last year there was a lot of activity and talk and reports coming out at that time. And so it was quite successful. A lot of people signed up for Cajun Code Fest last year.
We had well over 400 people attend, 150 programmers, two or three countries, 14, 15 states. So we had a great turnout from not only just the region, but from around the country. And then with 150 coders competing, winning cash prizes, and as well as other prizes that were available. So it was a wonderful event for our community.
For those in our audience who still are not familiar with the term code and coders, could you tell us what that's all about? What is coding and what are coders?
Sure, absolutely. So coding, everybody associates with software development, and it could be software, it could be web-based, it could be application-based, it could be enterprise-based, so it's a system that runs an organization. And we take software developers from all walks, shapes, forms of life, and they come together. They can form teams, but they don't have to form teams. They could be individuals interested. They do have to register. But we also encourage other folks who can be subject matter experts. So, for example, I was talking to a gentleman who runs a small aging-in-place company, which is the subject of this year's coding competition. It's aging-in-place in the Internet of Things. And he was joining a team. He had been asked to join a team and to partake. So he is going to be that team's subject matter expert on what it takes to age in place.
All right. And before we talk about that theme this year, which okay. I think a lot of people will be very excited about, when we say coders, does that mean programmers?
It does.
More
software
or less,
developers,
or, okay.
People who know how to write lines of code. What people need to realize is software pretty much runs our daily life. It's somewhere in the background. You may be driving your car and not thinking about software, but sure enough, there's software embedded within the systems mm-hmm. within your car that helps you run your car. You turn on your light. If you have a CFL that turns on, there's a little chip in the CFL, and guess what? Somebody developed the software for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It's programmers and database administrators and the like.
Okay, so it's come to cover sort of the umbrella term for anyone doing that.
Correct.
But it seems like there was a point at which people started hearing that word, coding and coders, rather than programming, computer programming.
It's always, I guess, for me, been synonymous. I've been in the environment so
right.
long.
Mm-hmm.
But more and more when people think hackathons or codeathons or coders, they're thinking software developers. I mean,
okay.
way back in the day, coders could have been perhaps something else, people mm-hmm. decoding messages. I don't know,
exactly,
but fun stuff
right.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But right yeah. now it's software development yeah. and programming.
Well, I know that was a little bit of a digression, but I think there are a lot of us who aren't quite as familiar
Understand.
With those
yeah.
phrases. So we're here talking about Cajun Code Fest. Three, and it is a healthcare coding competition. That's what it has been for the past
correct.
Two sessions. And are you planning to continue the healthcare? Is that your mission, Cajun Code Fest, to work in the healthcare world?
Yes, it's mm-hmm. always been built around okay. healthcare and providing those types of thematics. Mm-hmm. This year, aging in place is the subject, but we also threw in the Internet of Things. More and more devices are becoming internet enabled. You see people who have whole house systems where the washing machine and the dryer and the refrigerator and the coffee maker all communicate through a perhaps wireless network
mm-hmm.
and send
mm-hmm.
information back to the homeowner through really the proliferation came when we started getting smart devices, the different smartphones that we have in our hands. And so to have those applications be able to tell you the status of your house at any point in time. So that very much plays into aging in place, the Internet of Things. We're very much looking at the environment in which people are trying to age in place at home and how can you set that environment to help them do so. So, for example, my mom's in her late 60s. I know at some point in time we're going to talk to her about, you know, mom has a routine every morning. Mom gets up at 5:30. She opens the door. She gets the paper. She turns on the coffee maker. Well, if these things don't happen in that order of progression, there might be something up. And I'd like to know about that. And so mom may not. So that's always the conversation that you want to have. But it also enables us to be able to better take care of the people that are closest to us, our family members.
Well, let's talk about before just talking about how people are creating teams for this year, to give people a sense of what kinds of code people have come up with for the last 2 years. What were the themes in the last 2 years?
So the very first one was childhood obesity, and specifically then that leads to diabetes. And last year was owning your own health. So there's a lot of healthcare data out there about you, the individual, and how do you own that and how do you know about it and how do you collect it? And so those have been very successful competitions. Last year's winner, it was a very moving presentation. The team that won, the woman who led the team, her uncle had passed away from a drug overdose. And it wasn't an intentional or illegal drug overdose. He had lost his leg in a motorcycle accident. And he was on a pain management routine. And he took his pain medications that day, and then he had forgotten he had taken his pain medications that day, and he took them again. And that suppressed his respiratory and heart systems, and he passed in his sleep. So they created an application that helped you track when you were supposed to take your medications, whether there were drug interactions with the different medications you were having. And then if you didn't take your medications, it notified people. It notified yourself. Then it notified perhaps whomever you set up as next in akin, and then eventually it notified a caregiver, a doctor, or perhaps a nurse practitioner or a case manager. So it was very creative. And I think folk need to understand they did this in 27 hours. And it was a demonstrable application that it worked. We saw it worked. It used near-field technologies, which for folk that don't understand it, it is your phone. Most smartphones can read an RFID tag now. An RFID tag is a little tag that's embedded in stuff. It can be embedded in a credit card, or it can be, in this case, a pill bottle, which, you know, CVS and Walgreens and folk like that print those labels. They have the RFID tag in it, and you bumped it with your phone, and it loaded the information in, and it created your schedule for you. So it was pretty brilliant. It was pretty fun. The other winning team last year was a team from UL Lafayette, a young lady who was a kinesiology major, worked with a young man who was a computer science major, and they created an application that tracked the vigorousness of your exercise. So most people, if they're runners,
cheat on it.
Yeah, exactly. You can't data enter it and say, "Oh, I did this." What it did was most people who are runners will have something that does a track your run on your smartphone, right? And it helps you plan your route and tells you how many miles you went and stuff like this, perhaps even burn some calories. This one, using the altimeter in your phone, tracked not only the length of your run but how high you were going up, how low you were going up, and whether or not the vigorousness level of this of your exercise was at your target. And they used – the young lady knew of an algorithm that she had learned as a kinesiology major, and the young man knew how to program. They put the two together, and they end up winning the student prize. So it was pretty sharp.
Wow. And that really illustrates what you all are hoping to do in putting teams together. You are encouraging collaboration. And you say that really you don't have to be a coder or a computer programmer solely to enter this competition, that you can work in collaboration with others. Perhaps you have a great idea and you can collaborate with others to help actually finalize that idea.
Absolutely. One of the presenters last year, and he's coming back for year two, is Brian Siebeck. Brian is the Chief Technology Officer of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And we were having a roundtable discussion, and Brian talked about serendipitous collisions. And that's what you have here. You have these disparate people, many different backgrounds, getting together and coming together to solve a problem. And that's what we're looking. We're not just looking for software developers. Obviously, you need those folks on your team. You need database folk. But you also need subject matter experts and people who have the knowledge to tell the software developers how to do that. People don't understand that you need to have that type of game plan. You need to have that written out. it doesn't write itself. You have to have that subject matter expert to be able to do that.
But somebody listening who has for years said, you know, I've always had a great idea about how people can age better in place. If they've got that idea, they could register for Cajun Code Fest, and you have a team building evening.
That's right.
And how does that work?
What happens? It's sort of like really bad speed dating or matchmaking. What we do is we put everybody in a room and we help them understand who's who. So we have a tag that says, I'm a subject matter expert, and another tag that says, I'm a software developer. And what they do is they move about the room and they talk about what they're doing. And what is really interesting is fairly quickly, and usually within an hour to 90 minutes, folks have sorted themselves out into teams. And then they create a team name and have a little bit of fun with it. And then they come to us and say, we're now Team CareVS.
Well, what is the percentage of teams who come to you already formed and those who form with this?
About 50-50, I would say. So we have folk who've competed every year for the last 2 years who have told us that they're coming back because they're going to win it this year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's folks that just are signing up for the first time who are looking for folk to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of fun. It's an interesting dynamics. But at the end of the day, you get great outcomes.
Right. And it just sounds in general, you're trying to make the world a better place here.
That's what absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is very, very much the goal of, how do we take this creativity that we have in this community and for the folks that come here, and how do we create and make something brilliant out of it?
Right. Because one of the things people say about this area, South Louisiana, the Acadians, is that they are quite creative. They've come up with many ways to solve problems, to deal with the world around them for a couple centuries now.
Right.
And they're quite practical. So you're laughing as though you've encountered that.
Absolutely.
So what a great opportunity to take that's something already within our culture and marry it with technology to be helpful.
The ingenuity of the folk around here, find a need, see a need, fill a need,
mm-hmm,
and they do
mm-hmm.
it. And they're not afraid to create businesses. They're not afraid to create solutions. I've heard the phrase Cajunuity
mm-hmm.
Or the wildcatter mentality. I thought, I spent my career in the information technology sector, and there's a fairly quick return on investment. When somebody invests in your company, they want to see a 2 to 3 year return plan. Here with the wildcatter mentality, no, it's not 2 to 3 years. It's 12 to 18 months, and they want to see some – if it's coming out of the ground, it better be oil or gas.
or in this case, applications.
Applications. Mm-hmm. But it's that understanding of Don't be afraid of failing. You only should be afraid of not trying. And to watch the folk do that, find a need, see a need, fill a need is absolutely a ton of fun. And it's part of what makes Cajun Code Fest what it is.
Right. And in addition to just simply the exhilaration of seeing the creativity, you all have some very real prizes for this competition. What are you all offering this year?
So this year we've solidified a $2,500 cash prize for our student winners. And that's coming from the Louisiana Healthcare Quality Forum. They've been kind enough to do that. And we're in the process of finalizing the other prize levels at this point. In the prior 2 years, the lead prize has been $25,000. It's been shared between the team. Now, we don't know if we're going to be able to get to that this year. It's our goal. Mm-hmm. But there will certainly be a strong cash prize for the grand prize.
All right, so an extra incentive to bring out your creativity for this Cajun Code Fest. If you are just tuning in, my guest is Cian Robinson, and he's the Associate Director of CBIT, the Center for Business and Information Technologies here at UL Lafayette. He is here talking about Cajun Code Fest 3, the third annual Cajun Code Fest. It will take place in April, at the end of April. So what is the time frame about registering? Is there a deadline to register, either singly or as a team?
There is no deadline. That said, we already have 75 folks signed up. We have room for 150 team participants, 150 coders is what we say. And then for our plenary sessions, we can seat between 165 to 200 if we really make it nice and tight and squeezy within the Light Center.
So you can still participate even if you're not on the team. You could attend the sessions and listen to the speakers.
Absolutely. And we have some brilliant folk coming to town. On Wednesday night, we open up with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Mark Blatt. Dr. Blatt is the worldwide medical director for Intel, and he's flying in to speak specifically to aging in place, Internet of Things, and what Intel is doing about it and what he sees for the future of aging in place in the Internet of Things. As I had mentioned, the next day we have Mr. Brian Sivak, Chief Technology Officer, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, coming back. We have Secretary Kathy Kleber from the Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals. She is speaking with a very nice lady named Angelica Baltazar, who is with Esri. If folk know geographical information systems, Esri has a product called ArcGIS. It's a standard in the industry, and the two are speaking together about aging in place in Louisiana and what that means. We have his name's Jody Holtzman. And Jody has, I think, the coolest title I've ever heard. He is the Senior Vice President of Thought Leadership for AARP. Maybe one day I'll actually aspire to have that job title.
Thought leader.
I wondered why it wasn't thoughts leadership, but, you know, that's, I think, semantics. Yeah. I guess you get one good one a day and you call
that's
it quits.
Right.
But Jody's going to come in and talk about AARP and their role in aging in place. We also have a representative from the Office of the National Coordinator. She's the woman who heads it, Dr. Karen DeSalvo, is a native Louisianan. She's unfortunately in California at the same time, so she's sending a representative. But then again, the Louisiana Healthcare Quality Forum, who's sponsoring, they're going to be speaking as well. So we have a great set of speakers coming to town, and I encourage everybody to register to come see them.
Well, those people who are bowled over by that lineup you just mentioned may want to join a team just so they can listen to them. But do they need to register if they want to hear the plenary speakers?
We very much encourage people to register to hear the plenary speakers. They don't have to be on a team to come hear the plenary speakers. And in fact, we've partnered this year with it's called LAHIMS, or it's the Louisiana Health Information Management Systems Society. So think healthcare, IT, and systems. They're our partner in this, and they're marketing it to the folk that wouldn't necessarily be on a team but would want to attend.
Okay. So they should call your office to register if they just simply want to go to the sessions.
Or go to CajunCodeFest.org
and
register right there.
All right. Now, if you do want to be on a team, do you have to – some people may have a sort of a planning team. Do you have to have everyone on your team before you register, or can you register and then sort of gather your team?
Both ways are fine. Okay. Some folk put together their team and then they go in and register. Some people go and register and I'm going to have a team, and then they collect their individuals.
Okay. Just knowing that there is a limit in the number of people who can actually participate.
Total is 6 people a team.
Okay. 6 people on the team. But as Cian was saying, if you have a great idea and you don't yet have a team, you could attend that speed dating session.
That's right.
And when is that? When does that take place?
April 7th, that evening. So it's April 7, 8, 9 are the dates at Cajun Cove Fest this year. And it opens up Wednesday evening. I think we begin around 6-7 o'clock. So that's when the speed dating session, I guess you would say, can take place. We have a small reception, and then we go directly into the opening ceremonies. And then it's all day Thursday the 8th and all day Friday the 9th.
So you mentioned a number of hours. It's 27 hours they have. And so how does that work? Are they sort of locked into a room, or how do they
No, we do not sequester quarantine. What we do is this year's setup is going to be – it's going to be back at – last year was at the Cajun Dome, but this year we're back in the Research Park. And so the coding will occur in the Picard Center. And they've been kind enough to open the center up to us. And they will start coding around Thursday morning around 8, 9 o'clock, and they will continue to noon on Friday. And then the plenary sessions are across the parking lot at the Light Center, and we'll be in the theater there.
All right. And there are actually code fests that take place all over the country. And isn't there a national code fest that goes on?
The winner has the opportunity to go to Health Datapalooza in Washington, D.C. in June. The last 2 years, the winners have been able to go there and present their ideas. It's been a great venue. And we're working with Brian to see if that's going to be a possibility again this year. If it is, it's just a wonderful opportunity for you to take an idea that you've created in 27 hours and put it out in front of other folks. And the other folks there, you're not talking hundreds of people. You're talking thousands who go to Health Datapalooza. And many times there are funders out in the audience who, if they do like your application, will pull you aside and talk to you about it.
an amazing opportunity if you win. If you're interested, again, you can go to the website and you can register either as an individual, a team, or if you simply want to go to the plenary sessions,
correct,
you can do that also. So I'm sure some people are also curious about the CBIT, the Center for Business and Industry Technologies here at UL Lafayette. What kinds of work do you all do in addition to sponsoring the Cajun Code Fest?
So we are a research center, mm-hmm, and the Center for Business and Information Technologies really looks at how software can help with economic development, help organizations make themselves better, look at data management. We are an innovation partner for people who come to work with us. Our biggest client and our, I think, a very successful engagement is with the Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals. We are now in our second year of a three-year contract, and we are their innovation partner. We help them with determining what systems they're using, how they're using their systems. To be a little geeky here, it's called enterprise architecture, master data management, governance, business rules engines, all that fun stuff. And then we also help them maintain their systems. When we signed the contract, we thought there were 258 legacy systems, and everybody thought that that was a really big number. It turned out it's 450 plus. And I think we discover one new one at least every month or two. So there's a lot of really interesting information contained within Department of Health and Hospitals, and we're helping them really maximize their decision making through the integration of these different systems.
Wow, that's a huge job.
We've had a real interesting year. We've grown considerably. We're almost up to, just on the Department of Health and Hospitals contract, almost up to 30 people. And we're just to plug this, we have 6 more open positions in the Baton Rouge office. So we are not only here at CBIT in Abdallah Hall on the research campus, but we have an embedded office within Department of Health and Hospitals.
Embedded. Well, do you all work with students as well, undergraduate students at the university?
We do work with, mm-hmm, both undergraduate assistants and graduate assistants. If you are an undergraduate, we tend to look at the junior and senior folk, just because the students have had some time to get their feet underneath them and to get some really good grades, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the graduate assistants, master's and PhD candidates. We work with them. We can hire up to 20 at any point in time just on the Department of Health and Hospitals contract. And so we work extensively. And what's fun is we've been able to convert our graduate assistants into employees. So it becomes a very natural progression of, you learn who and what we are and what we're doing. And if we have the right contract in place at the time, we're able to move you into a position. So absolutely, students are a lifeblood, mm-hmm, for any research, mm-hmm, center.
Do they come primarily from the computer science program, or I know there's a new informatics program here at the university.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We take from both the informatics majors and the computer science majors. And then there are times when we do need folk with some business acumen or perhaps another expertise. A sister institute of mine is NIMSAT, National Incident Management Systems and Advanced Technologies, and they do a lot of training. They're emergency management, incident management, think cybersecurity even, and they've had some really interesting, neat contracts that they didn't need software developer, graduate assistants. They needed good, solid, show up on time, good head about you, can talk to businesses. So opportunity abounds sometimes. And we're very lucky.
It's always fascinating to hear what's happening here on the UL campus. it's just growing, and UL has always been interested in technology and has been at the forefront for many decades, but it's just fascinating to hear how it's growing and developing. My guest, Cian Robinson, is the Associate Director for the Center for Business and Information Technologies here at UL Lafayette. Check out their website for more information about the center, and you can also sign up for Cajun Code Fest 3.0 at that site as well. However you would like to participate, again, if you're just a single person with a great idea, or you have a team already, or you'd like to hear the speakers, you can register at the website as well. And do you all have any other social media presence that people might be interested in?
You can find us. If you do pound Cajun Code Fest, all one word, together, you can follow that on Twitter. We have a Twitter page. We have a Facebook page. I believe we're on LinkedIn. So, yes, most of the major social media sites, we're there.
All right. Well, you can keep in touch with them. I know we have an awful lot of students who listen in the afternoon coming out of high school, and you know, they're always interested in finding out what's going on at the university.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, specifically because we are partnering with the Light Center, and we will be bringing high school and younger folk into Cajun Code Fest this year. We're going to be teaching kids how to code, and if they choose, they can compete. So it's a new twist, a new wrinkle this year, but we are partnering with Light Center and getting that done. So if there are some high school students out there who want to participate, who are perhaps interested in learning more about developing software and what it takes, Light and CBIT with Cajun Code Fest will be doing that, and then they can compete and compete for that $2,500 student prize.
Well, and any parents or teachers listening as well, you can
Absolutely.
Encourage your classes or kids to participate in addition. Now, you do have so the high school students can participate in that student competition.
Yes, ma'am.
Which will include students here at UL.
Yes, ma'am.
As well. And the team that won last year, you said they're returning this year?
I do not know if they're returning, okay. But there is the second place team. I think it's like New Old Schoolers was their name. It's like New Old Schoolers and New Old Schoolers 2 or something like that. They're coming back again. They've informed me that they're coming back and that this time they're certain that they're going to win.
Okay, so come up with a great name for your team too.
That's right. That's
like.
Right.
We are talking about Cajun Code Fest 3.0. You can sign up now for Cajun Code Fest, and again, the dates of that?
April 7, 8. Oh, excuse me. It's April 23rd, 24th, 25th. My goodness, I'm getting dates confused. April 23, 24, 25. Sorry, everybody.
And that will be on the research campus in the Light Center.
Yes, ma'am.
And all of those buildings
yes, ma'am.
Over there. Well, Cian, thank you so much. We hope to have you back throughout the year to tell us more about what you all are doing at CBIT.
I appreciate the time, Judith. Thank you so much.